The reading today is from Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 13 through to verse 25, and then picking up from 32 through to verse 47. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who'd been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Today, on Good Friday, we remember how Jesus died on the cross for the whole world. In many ways, it is a day of sadness as we reflect on the fact that Jesus should endure such suffering for each one of us. And yet it is also a good day, because it is a day full of hope. Through Jesus' death, God did something amazing, as sin and death were beaten, and forgiveness and new life were offered to the whole world. So let's take a few moments to reflect on what happened through Luke's accounts of the events. And as we do so, we'll think of it particularly in relation to three other people who feature in these events. The first person is Barabbas. We picked up the reading today as Jesus appeared for the second time before Pilate. Pilate had already found no reason to condemn Jesus, but on hearing that he came from Galilee, he then sent him to Herod. Herod was pleased to eventually meet Jesus. He'd heard much about him and was hoping Jesus might perform a miracle. But he didn't. And Herod found no reason to condemn Jesus either. So he sent him back to Pilate. You would think that if there'd already been two verdicts of innocence made, that Jesus would then be released. In an attempt to appease the chief priests, Pilate offered to have Jesus punished before letting him go. It was customary for Pilate to release one prisoner for the crowds to celebrate the festival anyway, so Pilate attempted to use that tradition to release Jesus. Yet the crowds were having none of it. Luke tells us in verse 18, the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Now, Barabbas was not a minor criminal. Luke made it clear to us. He told us in verse 19 that Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Hardly a small crime. And yet this was the man that was released instead of Jesus. Barabbas was actually guilty of some of the crimes of which Jesus had been charged, stirring up the people, leading a rebellion. Jesus was innocent. And yet Barabbas was set free and Jesus died in his place. And there's the hope that Good Friday brings to us all. Jesus didn't deserve to die, but he died in the place of a man who was guilty. Guilty of committing crimes, guilty of hurting others, guilty of sinning against God. At this moment, we are all invited to see ourselves there in the story with Barabbas. Not because we've committed a crime, not even because we've stirred up others to rebel, but because all of us have, in one way or another, turned against God and sinned against him. All of us have let him down. We've all hurt others by living selfishly, even when we've tried not to, because we're not perfect. And our imperfections separate us from God and lead us to death. We don't know how Barabbas reacted after he was released. I'm sure he was very happy to be set free. But did he ever think, for even a moment, about the fact that Jesus died in his place? Did he wonder who Jesus was? Did he think about what Jesus had done? Or did he accept his freedom and carry on regardless? As we think back over the events that took place when Jesus died, we are, I'm sure, horrified to think of how Jesus died in the place of Barabbas. And then we remember that Jesus' death wasn't just for Barabbas, it was for every one of us too. How will we respond to what Jesus has done for us? We continued our reading in verse 32, where Luke tells us that Jesus wasn't alone when he was crucified on that day. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And they were crucified either side of Jesus, in front of the watching crowds. Whilst the soldiers mocked Jesus, challenging him to save himself, one of the criminals joined in. But Luke tells us that the other criminal reacted completely differently. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he spoke to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Here is the first person who responds to what Jesus is doing through his death. This criminal had little idea of how Jesus was going to bring salvation to the world. But somehow he knew that Jesus really was a king. And he knew that as much as he deserved to die himself, Jesus didn't deserve to be on the cross next to him. He didn't need to understand how Jesus was going to rise again. He just knew he needed to acknowledge who Jesus is and that he wanted to be part of his kingdom. He wanted to be saved, not from his crucifixion, as the other criminal had remarked, but eternally, and to live beyond death with Jesus. And this criminal reminds us all of our own need to respond to Jesus and his death on the cross. It is not enough just to know what happened. It is not even enough to recognise that Jesus didn't deserve to die. We each need to come to that place where we see Jesus as the King of Kings, who gave his life that we might live, and respond to him in awe and in humility as we ask for his forgiveness and his salvation. For those of us who've already responded to Jesus, we remember today that our new life with Jesus is only because he was willing to die in our place. I encourage you all to take a few moments of quiet today to contemplate on the cross, on what Jesus endured, in order that you might be saved. Life is difficult for us all at this moment in time, and we don't know when things will change and how each of us will be impacted by what is happening in the world. Yet there is hope for all of us too, because whatever life looks like now and in the future, Jesus, the King of Kings, is offering to walk with us through the challenges and to give us life forever in his kingdom. Will we, like the thief on the cross, respond to Jesus and share in his kingdom? Finally, we read of Jesus' last moments on the cross. Luke tells us that the whole place became dark for around 3 hours, and then Jesus cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. It looked like that was the end of things for Jesus. Everything he'd worked for was over. Everything he'd tried to achieve had come to an end. But in fact, in many ways, this was just the beginning. In the final verses of this account of the death of Jesus, Luke tells us two remarkable things. He says in verse 45, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then in verse 47, he says the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Mark tells us a little bit more about these events in his gospel. He tells us firstly that the curtain of the temple wasn't just torn in two, but torn from top to bottom. This was a tall curtain. To be torn from the top indicated that this was not the work of human hands. But more significantly, the tearing of the curtain indicated an opening of the way to God. The curtain separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. This was the area where God was said to dwell. Only the priest could access the Holy of Holies, and he could only do that on one day of the year. But now, the death of Jesus had opened up the way to God. Through Jesus, each one of us can approach God whenever we like. There is no longer any need for temple sacrifices because Jesus paid the ultimate price in giving his own life to save the world. And now we have freedom to relate directly to the living God. Mark also tells us that the centurion didn't just declare the innocence of Jesus. He declared Jesus to be the Son of God. Now, this wasn't the first Roman centurion to have put his faith in Jesus. But here was a man, a tough Roman soldier, who was on duty at the death of Jesus and who saw beyond what was happening to see who Jesus really is and believed in him. Like the thief on the cross, the centurion responded to Jesus. But for the thief, his life on earth was about to end. So his response was only going to impact his life after death. For the centurion, his faith would have impacted his life on earth too. Jesus' death on the cross doesn't just offer us eternal life in the future. That eternal life begins now, if we, like the centurion, put our faith in Jesus. In the sadness of the events that took place on Good Friday, there is hope. Hope that we can find forgiveness now. Hope that we can live from this moment in the security of God's love for us. Hope that we can accept his plans and purposes for our lives and receive his strength through all of the joys and challenges that we face at this time. So on this Good Friday, I encourage you to take a few moments to reflect on all that Jesus has done for you. Acknowledge him to be not just the King of Kings, but your King. Surrender afresh to him and respond by putting your trust in him completely. Let's pray. Loving God, as we come on this Good Friday, we come today to remember, to marvel, to give thanks, to worship you. We remember the agony that you endured, the sorrow, humiliation, and despair. And we celebrate the fact that you bore all of this for people like us, people who are weak and frail and faithless, people who let you down and betray your awesome love. Help us today to see more of what you have done for us and to appreciate all that it cost you as we respond with thankful, joyful hearts. Help us to make you the King of the whole of our lives. Help us to trust in you and to trust in you for our today, our tomorrow, and our future. In Jesus' name, Amen.